Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all well, and I hope you can all hear me as well. A very warm welcome, first of all, to our club webinar today, which is an update and a Q&A session with our Table Tennis England Chief Executive, Sarah Sutcliffe. I think most of the people on the call today were part of the Sport England funding webinar earlier this week, but for those of you who don't know me, my name's Claire. I'm Clubs, Leagues and Schools Manager at Table Tennis England. You've probably noticed that you are all on mute at the moment. The reason for this is simply just to reduce the interference and minimise the background noise. But of course, we do welcome questions today. So if you do have a question, there's two ways you can ask this. Either pop your question in full in the chat box and I'll collate these as we go through. Or if you'd prefer to ask a question, pop your name in the chat box and we'll hand over to you and invite you to unmute so that you can go ahead and ask that question. So I'm going to hand straight over to Sarah for her update, and then we'll go into the Q&A session. So hopefully Sarah can hear me okay.
Thank you, Claire. I can, and welcome to everybody. First, I do believe that actually our chairman, Sandra Deaton, was going to try and join us. If Sandra's joined yet, has she, Claire? She'd like to say a few words as well.
Yes, I am. I am here. I don't know whether we can start the video.
There we go, Sandra.
Okay. I am here. Hello, everybody. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say I hope you're all keeping well and safe, and that your families and the table tennis family around your clubs are all keeping safe and well. And just to reiterate that Table Tennis England and all our staff and the board and the governance of the association are continually thinking about our table tennis family, thinking about you all, trying to find ways in which we can keep communicating with you, help and support you, and keep our sport of table tennis alive in what is an incredibly, incredibly difficult and unprecedented time. So I am going to stay in on this webinar. I'm not going to input into it in any way. I'm just going to listen to your questions that you're going to put to Sarah. I think I would also like to echo Sarah's great thanks to Sport England for their flexibility that they have shown during this difficult time, and that hopefully that we can infiltrate on some of their concepts in order to help our clubs to keep going. And more importantly, most importantly, is that when we come out of it, we can go back to what we were, or even greater than what we were. And we can keep the sport being promoted in every possible way that we can. But what I wanted to do, and the reason why I wanted to join it, was to say to you all, I personally am thinking about you. Table Tennis England are continually thinking about you, and the board of Table Tennis England are wanting to do everything that we possibly can to keep table tennis involvement at your level as high a priority as we can. So thank you. Over to you, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. And thank you again to Claire for the introduction and a welcome to everybody. And just like to echo Sandra's opening comments, and that I hope that you and your families and your own club members are all safe and well as much as possible, and managing to adapt in the circumstances that we're all finding ourselves in. I think on that, I think one of the challenges we're all facing is that sport is by its very nature a people, it's a people industry, it's a people sector. What we rely on in sport is the ability to be with other people. So the restrictions that are being placed on us all go fundamentally to the heart of what we all do. And I know that that will be hitting you as clubs harder than probably any other part of the sector. And so that's why we are here to try and provide you with as much guidance and support as possible as your governing body. Quick update on the governing bodies itself, or the office. As you would expect, of course, the office is shut, but we are, everyone is adapting to working remotely. Incredibly proud of how the team have adapted so well. A bit like I'm sure any of you in your working lives as well, you've had to adapt and you're meeting new challenges head on and dealing with everything being done over technology. But I think this does actually also provide us with a lot of opportunities, and I'm really heartened to see how everybody's gathering pace on social media and setting challenges and really showing how table tennis at its real heart is a sport that can continue to be played and practiced remotely, even though it obviously doesn't have the same interaction that we would love it to have where people are on opposite ends of the table. But as we know, tables have sold out. All the suppliers have sold out to sort of home tables. So we know there are a lot more people playing. And one of the challenges and opportunities we have is how do we try and capture these people and understand. And then once we come out of lockdown, I'm sure there'll be a real resurgence of people wanting to join clubs, hopefully, and get that social interaction of playing sport, not just in their own backyard. So how do we make sure we can signpost collectively these people to join clubs and get more involved in the sport? So we're all working remotely. We have had to take the difficult decision to furlough a few members of staff. Taking the guidance from Sport England, we've been unable to furlough people who are funded with public funding, but about a quarter of our staff are actually funded out of our own revenue. And so we have identified the roles where there is less immediate activity, and those are roles that are funded out of our own revenue, and we have had to furlough a few members of staff. But we are fundamentally, the framework of the organisation is still operating on a daily basis. Our phones are diverted to the relevant teams and are being answered, and our Zendesk help email is being picked up every day and actioned as it would normally be in the office. So my message there is please do not hesitate to get in contact, either directly through Claire or anyone else in the development team, or through the help email address, or through the phone lines, as those will be answered and your queries will be dealt with. I'm sure for most of you that you were on the web, if you were on the webinar earlier this week, you'll be aware of the information we're posting on our website. We're constantly updating that with more and more information as we find stuff out from Sport England. So please do continue to look there. We've had a lot of support from Sport England, and I've been involved in a number of phone calls, both directly with our relationship manager, but also collectively with the leadership of Sport England and also with other governing bodies. They're very much taking it's a two-pronged attack, two priorities that Sport England are focusing on now. The first is to make sure that the sector is supported. So they have provided us with all the flexibility and support we need. There are some governing bodies who are facing immediate cash flow issues. They're helping those sports to meet head on some of their cash flow issues. I've just seen a question pop up from Rory. Furlough is the, Rory's just asked, what does furlough mean? Furlough is the government scheme, the coronavirus job retention scheme, where you're able to put members of staff basically on paid leave, but the government is going to pay 80% of their salaries. You'll have seen it's being used quite extensively throughout all industries. So basically we've furloughed about 10 members of staff. We'll be able to claim 80% of their salaries at the moment it's only open till the end of May, but we are also, we've taken the decision to top up their salary to their full amount so that they're not paid. Then they're no worse off, but it does mean that they're unable to work during that time. Anyway, I hope that clarifies that. Just to say, I mean, very much in touch with a lot of other governing bodies, with my counterparts and other sports, and we're all really sharing knowledge and advice and information. And as people become aware of initiatives or examples of how things can be happening, we're sharing that information because I think we do genuinely feel that we're all in this together. And as I say, Sport England's providing support so that we can, I think we've coined the terminology sort of survive and thrive. So the idea is to survive whilst we're all facing these challenges, but then also be in a position to really thrive when we come off the back of lockdown and really, I think, garner some of the energy that people are finding. So some research came out of Sport England last week to say that I think it was over 60% of people now appreciate and understand the need to be more active, and how activity levels are actually, for a lot of the population, increasing because their day-to-day life has had to change so much. So I think there will be some real opportunities. And Sport England are also going to be driving a campaign that they want a number of governing bodies to get involved with about activity levels and what you can be doing to keep active. Sorry, I'm just checking my notes. There are a couple of other things. So I think really the main message I want to give to you before I make an announcement that the team have asked me to make is really do stay in touch. Please don't suffer in silence. If we can help you, we will. If we can give you guidance, we will. The team are there on the end of email, on the end of phone, to provide you with whatever help and assurance they can. The one thing that we would like to be able to announce is that, as you'll all be aware of our BTT program, we have been able to take the decision with Support of Sport England to repurpose our sort of phase three BTT funding, and as well as some of the satellite funding, satellite club funding we get from Sport England. So instead of the taking the decisions we were going to be taking around that, we are now going to repurpose all that pot of money into grants to help clubs restart. So whenever restart will happen, and whatever restart looks like, the aim will be to have those pots of money available to help clubs and leagues with the activity that they want to be able to do to be able to restart properly. So I hope that's helpful. I'm sure Claire nod if I'm right, but we'll be pushing more written information out about this to the clubs and leagues shortly. So I think that's probably it in terms of a monologue update. Very happy to take any questions and queries that people have.
Great, thank you, Zara. Just as there's no questions currently in the chat box, but we do have a couple that were sent through in advance. Just a reminder, guys, if you want to pop your name, if you've got a question in the chat box, or pop your full question in the chat box, we can answer those as well. So a question we had in, Zara, is around if clubs are not successful in the Sport England community emergency funding, what other strategies or plans do we have at Table Tennis England to help keep clubs afloat?
Thanks, Claire. It's a difficult one, and I think at the moment our priority is to try and help clubs in all possible way we can to access any of the funds that are available, either through Sport England or indeed some of the other government schemes. So clubs that are established as businesses may be eligible for business loans and other government schemes. Coaches who are self-employed may be able to apply for some of the self-employed schemes that have also been made available. But I think, as I said, what I don't want any club to do is suffer in silence. If they really are facing problems, please do speak to us. At this stage, we don't have the capacity to be able to open up our own emergency relief fund. But what I will do is say that we really won't, if at all possible, allow a club to go under if it was a matter of cash flow or finance. But I can't make any promises, but all I will say is please do keep in touch with us and make sure that we're aware of any issues you do have. And obviously, as just announced, the BTT funding will be there to help clubs when we get into the sort of the restart phase. But as I say, more information will be available on that.
And one of our webinar series towards the end of the month will be on the new BTT funding as well. So we'll be able to share further details in the webinar on that. One more question that we had as well. There are some concerns from clubs about keeping members engaged so that we don't lose them over this period. Is there any guidance or support for clubs on that area?
I think that's a really interesting one. And And I think there's probably some really good sharing we can be doing across clubs. So I know some clubs have done some really innovative stuff, clearly using your own social media, your own Facebook pages, or, you know, and even just, I think, sharing out the job around perhaps committee members to pick up the phone and speak to club members, especially if you know you've got members who are perhaps on their own or a bit more isolated or a bit more vulnerable. I think it's really about trying to come back down to what is a club, and a club is a community. It's a community of people. And I think just trying to find the way, the ways that work for you and your club. Some clubs are a lot more set up on social media and email lists to be able to talk to their members. Some may find it harder, but I think you should hopefully then be able to pick up the phone and speak to people. Find, you know, engage the youngsters in your club to come up with ways in which you can innovate. You know, I thought the little film that Urban did recently that we posted, and we will do this, we will repost examples of what other clubs are doing, where they did a virtual rally across members in their homes and in their gardens. It's just a really fun way of still remembering that, you know, a club is a community, and even in these challenging times, a bit like up and down your street, whilst you can't meet up with your neighbours for a cup of coffee, there are ways in which people can stay in touch up and down the street, out the windows, waving at each other. And just, it's a challenging time for all of us. We're all in uncharted territory. We're all trying our best to find new ways to stay in touch. But I think people will appreciate it, and members will appreciate staying in touch with each other. So find ways in which it will work for you to do it. Use technology, use Zoom, use FaceTime, use Microsoft Teams. Use what people have available. And I do say, I think, involve some of the younger people in the club to see if they can come up with really good ways to help.
We have had a couple of questions come in actually on a similar theme. How are we, or how are Table Tennis England and Table Tennis Clubs, how might we handle a situation where coming out of lockdown is staged? So if, say, older people are potentially the last people to be able to come out, how are we able to operate in a world that might be limited by social distancing for quite a while?
I mean, I don't have an exact answer. I don't think any of us do. I think we're just going to have to look and analyse government advice as and when it is issued, and we will do our best to do that and provide guidance about how we think that that can happen. Clearly, clubs that are perhaps bigger may be able to segment off parts of the hall or some tables, and you could get, you know, two people coming in to play at a table but not actually passing each other. Clearly hygiene will become a big issue. I think everyone's just going to have to really start to try and think out of the box. And I think what we are obviously hearing, which is probably no more than what we're hearing generally in public advice, is that some level of social distancing is going to be likely for a long time, and that is obviously going to impact sport and sports clubs. But I think we'll start to see how other countries can also adapt, and what we will do is make sure that through the EU and the ITTF we start to understand perhaps other countries that start to come out of lockdown sooner, what they are able to do, and we'll try and take the best learnings from other people. I see in Austria some outdoor sports clubs are now able to get going again. So tennis clubs, I think I've seen, have been able to reopen. Obviously, they're outdoor. Perhaps we will be able to start to channel people into using outdoor tables. And so clubs that have outdoor tables nearby that they can access might be able to start to set up some sort of club activity around an outdoor table. I don't know, but what we will do, what I can say to you, is we will put our thinking caps on. We will try and analyse government advice as it comes out. I will learn from other governing bodies what they're doing, and we will look to learn from other table tennis communities abroad who may come out of lockdown quicker. And what we will do is try and take the best learnings from everybody and provide some ideas and some advice. But I think we've all just got to be prepared to think creatively and think outside of the box, stay within guidelines, adhere to guidelines. I think what the country doesn't want to do is ever have to go back down into this lockdown again. So, you know, everyone's doing a great job now, and we're just going to have to continue to do so.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. And we've just had a question pop in as well around researching a self-disinfecting ball, highlighting some of the challenges that you've already highlighted around this social distancing and participating in table tennis, but perfect. Are there any other questions that anyone would like to add? Or anything else, Sarah, that you'd like to add?
Just really one of the questions, Sarah. Do you think one of the big challenges we have is that a lot of the clubs and a lot of our leagues and a lot of our membership are in the older community? And I do think that is a real challenge to all of us. And it's a challenge to us as a governing body. If I'm honest, if we have a major drop in membership renewal, we'll have a major drop in our revenue, and that could have impact into what we're able to do and to deliver. So we are looking at it. We'll be doing some scenario planning ourselves. And I do think, you know, it's a very live issue that the older age group are going to have greater challenges coming out of lockdown, and how we all adapt to try and encourage them to stay involved. Whether we look to, one of the things we will be looking to is perhaps getting more role net pop-up ping pong sets available, and maybe we could be looking to work with clubs to get those out to some of the older members so they can continue to play perhaps in their own homes before they're able to come back into the club environment. You know, we will keep looking at as many creative ways as possible, particularly around the more vulnerable age groups, to see how we can keep them engaged, and so they don't, you know, what we would hate more than anything is for this to become that hiatus that stops them playing. So we've got to all work together to try and keep as many people active as possible.
Okay. And what is the latest thinking about outstanding British League matches this season?
Thank you for that question. I mean, I can confirm that we've just literally come off the back of a board meeting this morning where a decision has been made. If you could bear with us just so that we can get our ducks in a row, but I think we'll be able to, we'll be in a position to make a formal announcement early next week. But a decision has been made.
I think Martin Ireland would like to add something here as well. Martin, go ahead and unmute yourself, that's fine.
No, thank you. It was just, obviously with the majority of clubs, they hire facilities. Rather than actually owning them. Many of our clubs aren't actually owning. And April is usually the time that facility bookings need to be made. I think it's just worth reminding clubs that this is something that shouldn't really be left. Still get your booking forms in, still make sure that you're in the queue for when things do come back. It's very easy to leave it, and the next thing, you know, we get into April, May, June, and other people may be getting booking forms in front of you. So when centres do open, it's important that you are, you know, in there and that bookings have been made, even though you're not potentially going to be paying for them, but the booking forms have been submitted. But April is the time when that usually happens.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah, I mean, I would reiterate that we're planning, all our planning in the competition and events department is certainly planning for a full season next year. We will obviously adapt as and when advice changes, but I think that's really good advice from Martin that, you know, let's continue to plan as if we're going to be coming out of lockdown as soon as possible. And whilst there will be adaptations to be made and there will be challenges and changes, don't miss the window that you would normally have to get your booking forms in.
And on a similar competitive line, do we have any advice for leagues about how to deal with end of season promotion and relegation issues, given that lots of matches weren't played?
Sure, I think it's one of the things where every league is at a slightly different stage, and it's obviously, leagues are obviously autonomous. You have your own constitutions and your own rules and your own committees. So it really is a decision for each league to decide how to deal with end of season promotion and relegation. Although I do believe that some advice or some examples of what you can do has been posted on the TT League's website. So either have a look there to the TT Leagues and see if there's some advice there, or otherwise, I think, Claire, we're looking to include something in perhaps some of our, we'll probably look to put something up on our pulling from that and onto our general website page around coronavirus and advice. So we'll look to do something there. One of the other questions that's come up a few times separately, dealing with club or league AGMs. Again, it's for each club and league to decide how to manage that, but there are lots of different ways in which it can be done now using technology. So I think the best thing is to talk to your own committees and members and make a decision what works for your own club or league. Advice or look to put you in the direction of another club or league who've already made decisions that might be able to help you, then we will do so.
There's some really good guidance that's been produced as well by Sport England Club Matters around hosting online AGMs. So we'll circulate that afterwards as well, so that people have access to that resource. We've had a comment around about trying to grow the club at this time. Is there any support for helping to promote clubs? He's going to be using the new newsletter facility, but hoping to encourage as many people as possible to sign up. So yeah, is there any support that we can provide in terms of club promotion at the moment?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and I think it's fantastic you're trying to use this opportunity as a chance to promote the club. I think the best thing I can say is actually we'll take that away, and Claire, let's have a think about what we can do to help signpost clubs to any promotional materials we have that they might be able to use. I think there's really good opportunities if you've got any kind of connection into perhaps local newspapers who may be crying out for content, anything you can talk about that tries to direct people to come to your club when there's the opportunity to restart. And as I say, our BTT funding will be there to help clubs on the restart journey. So I think what we'll do, Claire, is when we're looking to push out the information about BTT, we'll also look at how we can help clubs with promotional advice for this period now, because I think there are real opportunities. I think it's people who find opportunities in times of crisis or adversity that will come through it in the strongest possible position.
Right. Thanks. Sorry, I was just going to quickly jump in. Hi, it's Greg here from, I'm Head of Development at Tennis England. Just a couple of things that spring to mind on that note, Mark. We have a Back to Table Tennis programme that we launched in February. Obviously, Back to Table Tennis now probably takes on a whole new different tack than it was originally intended. And the programme was launched to attract those that used to play 20, 30 years ago, perhaps, and back into the sport. So there's potentially work we can do to share some of those resources for clubs that may want to deliver that when they come back. And then the other one is TT Kids for those that are TT Kids clubs or want to look to become deliver TT Kids in their own club. There's obviously lots of promotional videos and resources, and the TT Kids at Home page that we've created on the TT Kids website. So there's potential opportunities there to get people linked into those and sign up for your newsletters to keep receiving updates around those areas, perhaps. Thank you.
Thank you. There's one more question, Sarah, in the chat box. So Ian's pointed out that suppliers are selling out of kit for home use, which is great. But do we have any insight, or do we know whether that situation is likely to improve?
I don't specifically, but all I know is that all the suppliers are working really hard because it's a great business opportunity for them right now. So if they've got any way of getting more kit and more equipment available from their sources, they will be doing so, because say it's a great business opportunity for them right now.
Claire, I'll just, sorry to jump in again, but we have got some TT Kids roll nets and stuff that we had held off opening up sales on those, just because we didn't know how the warehouse where they're stored would be able to handle orders. But we have got TT Kids bats and roll nets and balls that we will be looking to open up next week. So if it's that type of thing you're looking for, we could be able to help. But yeah, not with physical tables, unfortunately.
Ian's also mentioned there that the TT Kids videos are there to stimulate junior play. Absolutely. Do we have any online challenges or similar things that might stimulate more youth or adult interest, or do we intend to do anything like that?
That's a good question. I think, certainly I know our comms team are working on a lot of ideas at the moment, so if that's one that they haven't thought of, I'd be surprised if they haven't. I will certainly prompt them on it.
And Rory as well has just added into the chat box there that he's been doing some online video lessons with under 11s and has a list of 94 skills for young beginner players, and he's happy to share this. Rory, that would be excellent if you were able to share that with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Claire, to jump in again quickly on the we have got a TT Kids live session that Colette and who's leading on TT Kids work, and Jenny have been working on, and that's happening on the 21st of April. We've had about, it's just gone out to the young people that have been involved in TT Kids previously for the first one, and that went out to about 500 people. So about 80 people have signed up for that, which is fantastic. But what we will look to do, I think, is following that one, is to look at where we can open up to people that haven't perhaps been involved in TT Kids before, other young people that we can engage in those sessions as well. But yeah, we'll just run the first one and then make sure it all works okay, and everyone has a good time.
Claire, can I just make a comment? I know I said I wouldn't, but very difficult for me not to. Is it okay to make a comment?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I think the one of the big messages that's coming out of this particular webinar is that it's about sharing good practice. And I think that the situation where we're having to deal with things on a virtual and electronic way is an absolute ideal opportunity to share good practice. Sarah mentioned earlier on where a club up in Nottingham had done a video of the ball being passed from one place to another, from young people to older people, to how you can keep and to share concepts like that. And for clubs to share lots of different ways in which they are keeping in contact with their members, and of which they're keeping the interest of members, both young and old, now is an ideal opportunity for to be able to do that, either directly with the clubs or through Table Tennis England. But we can't share it if you don't send it us. Send us some of the things that you're doing so that we can pass it on to other clubs for them to, and other members for them to be able to access and try. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandra. Okay, I can't see any more questions that have come in at the moment. Thank you, Rory, for sharing.
Rory's sending all that information. The problem is once we leave this, that's lost. So, Rory, if you could actually send it to Claire as well, or to Greg, so by email, that'd be great, so that it's not lost once this this webinar is over.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add, or I wonder whether it's just sort of re-emphasizing how clubs can get in touch if they do have concerns, or any anything that they'd like to share with us, whether that be good news or questions. Yeah, I think that's it for questions, Sarah. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or?
No, other than just say thank you, actually. Thank you all for joining. As I say, Claire and Greg and the team, and Allard on the coaching team, and I know Colette's doing one. We're using this as an opportunity to really try new ways ourselves of being able to increase our contact with you. And I think this series of webinars is a really good example of how we can do that. And I think it's something that we will take forward and do more and more of, so that we can create a community that engages a lot more and shares best practice. So thank you for taking the time out to join. And I hope that you are all keeping well.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. We will end the session there. I hope you really found that useful and interesting. We will send a follow-up and a video of this. The video of this will be made available on the website. And just to re-emphasise, really, if you do have anything that you'd like to share with us, good news or concerns, please do get in touch. And we always want to help where we can. So thank you very much, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.